is allegedly a new Jeopardy host, and literally no one has heard of him. Kendall Jenner had one job, and she's being sued for almost $2 million for just not doing it. And the summer rom-com is finally back with a vengeance. Do we have streaming to thank for its long-awaited revival?
It's August 6, 2021.
Hey friends, I'm Shiloh Watson.
And I'm Ahis Osifo.
Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily. Okay, Ahis is back.
I'm back, baby.
You are back. So right before the show, we were talking about like our cell phones from back in the day. And you were saying that you had a Razor. I was like a BlackBerry person. Kids today just don't have options. And I feel like that's sad. Like, what can you do? Pick what color iPhone you want? Like,
honestly, that's all you got, because, you know, Samsung is out here trying to flex their phones. I know there's like the Google Pixel, but at the end of the day, there's just a bias for the blue bubble. And if you're sending me a text and it's a green bubble, miss me with that.
I don't want to talk to you.
No, I'm not going to respond. I'm absolutely not going to respond. I'm going to report it to the police. I'm like, this is spam.
This is like very probably controversial, but I ghosted someone because they had a green bubble.
I fully support that, Shiloh. I don't think that's controversial at all. I think that's self-preservation, because here's the thing. Okay. If y'all were to date and fall in love, you would have to date a green bubble for the rest of your life.
Right? Like, no, don't I deserve better than that?
Absolutely not. Never settle for anything less than the blue bubble.
That's okay. Yes, that's going to be my mantra moving forward. Okay, so I want to talk about Jeopardy. I mean, there have been weeks of guest hosts following the passing of Alex Trebek.
Rest in peace.
Yes. And it's been announced recently that Mike Richards is reportedly in, quote, advanced negotiations to become the permanent host. This, of course, has led to a lot of people wondering, who the fuck is Mike Richards?
I mean, I was hoping you could tell me, Shiloh, because I know I don't know.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess the short answer is he's an executive producer on Jeopardy, but the most important part of that is he's not LeVar Burton.
No offense to Mike Richards as a human being, but a little bit of offense to this person as the host of Jeopardy. I understand they wanted like a new face to bring him in, to build him up like Alex Trebek. But here's the thing. Alex Trebek is Alex Trebek. He has a legacy that you have to uphold. And you can't fill those unfillable shoes with a rando. Whereas LeVar Burton, you know, he taught a generation. I remember Roots. I remember Between the Lions. Like, he taught me how to read. He taught me what a compound word was. And, you know, there's a whole generation, the people who are currently watching Jeopardy, and we have a special relationship with LeVar Burton. But then there are also the Gen Zers who are like, ooh, who's this dude? Oh, who's this cool, diverse lad, you know? I want to see more people who look like me on these shows. I'm tired of seeing white men telling me I didn't get this trivia question about the fall of the Roman Empire correct.
Well, I mean, it hasn't been like it's not a done deal yet. So maybe they will take in public opinion and fix this.
We are going to start a petition and it's going to get a million signatures by the end of the day.
Done and done. All right, so in other truly wild news, Kendall Jenner is being sued for $1.8 million for allegedly breaching the terms of a modeling contract. Kendall, who was the world's highest paid model, which I did not know, had been hired for $1.5 million to do two planned photo shoots for Italian fashion house Lujo. The second was delayed because of COVID-19. According to the brand, Kendall failed to respond to rescheduling requests and ultimately never attended a second shoot, even though they'd already paid her $1.35 million. Now, the lawsuit comes just 2 months after Kendall defended herself against accusations that she's had a modeling career, quote, handed to her as a result of her fame. I have thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Kendall, honey, if you're listening, just going to put it out there. If you're trying to combat rumors and, you know, accusations that you got your modeling career handed to you, one of the ways to do that is to show up and do your fucking job, especially one you were paid for.
Right. Like, I know modeling is a hard gig. I have no doubt about it. And I'm not saying she's not good at her job. Like, yes, maybe she had it handed to her because of her fame. But I think that she, I mean, if she's the highest paid model, like, she must be very good. But I think that that also comes with responsibility to actually put in the work and, you know, be a professional. So
here's the tea. You know that Naomi Campbell or Tyra Banks or even Gigi Hadid, they respond to their emails. You mean to tell me you couldn't even respond for a reschedule? It's one thing if, like, oh, your plane was delayed, or, oh, like, a family emergency came up, but you fucking communicate. This is your job and you're getting paid millions of dollars to do this job and you can't even pick up your iPhone and respond?
Especially because, like, you know she has people to do it for her.
So, exactly. Like, really, all you have to be excuse? Like is, hey, assistant number 3, can you let this company know that, you know, I'm not feeling it today or something? I don't know. I just think it is unacceptable that you're not even responding to a request to reschedule when they already paid you to do the job. Like, I don't have sympathy for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, I mean, Kendall aside, the next thing that we have to talk about is summer movie season. It's finally here.
Pew, pew, pew.
And if it's telling us anything, it's that rom-coms are finally back. But where did they even go? We're talking all about the genre's rise and fall after the break, as well as our favorite picks for the summer of 2021. So, with Marvel movies and action adventures constantly crushing it at the box office, for a while it looked like audiences were over the romantic comedy. But if the buzz surrounding movies like Kissing Booth 3, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and Always Be My Maybe are any indication, summer rom-coms are back in full force. And honestly, it's about time. Do we have Netflix to thank? And which movie will emerge as the romantic comedy of the summer? BuzzFeed's Lauren Garofano joins us now as we break it all down. Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So between Bridgerton last year and, I mean, Never Have I Ever this year, it seems like TV is the new rom-com breeding ground. But some even say Netflix is basically saving the rom-com genre. What are our thoughts here?
I don't know about you guys. I prefer the TV rom-com just because it's like, you really do get that slow burn of the will they, won't they kind of romance. And it, honestly, it's like, it's similar to me to like a book where it's like you're yearning and you're just agonizing over all of these episodes instead of just a 90-minute movie, which I love.
I was also going to say, you know, you're with the characters for so much longer and, you know, you get to really invest in the lives of these people, especially like, you know, with Never Have I Ever, fingers crossed we get a season 3, but, you know, we're growing with these people. We're like, you know, understanding their motivations. We're understanding, you know, the choices that they make at different stages in their lives. And it feels like a lot more real, which I feel like, you know, with movie rom-coms, that can sometimes be the critique. It's that it's like, oh, this is no way is this realistic. But with the show, you have so much more time to like build that connection. So it feels a bit more genuine.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like movies are more like plot focused and TV shows are more character focused for exactly the reasons you said. We just have more time with them, and for romance, that's, I always want more, so that's good.
Totally. So, but this all begs the question, was the rom-com on the verge of dying, and how did it manage to fall out of fashion for a while? And, you know, I think, you know, we were all kind of discussing, and I think, again, it seems at times it could feel a little far-fetched in moments when we want something a bit more realistic, something that we can kind of, you know, feel a bit more grounded in.
It feels to me kind of like the fashion, like a fashion trend almost, where it's like these things cycle in and out. And what, now we're back to 90s fashion again. Y2K fashion is all, it's back and it's bigger than ever. And I feel like movies kind of do this as well. I guess there was a bit of a death of the rom-com because in the 2000s, 2010s, we had all these big franchises that appeal to like such a large audience, whereas like everyone can kind of get something out of these Marvel movies. Everyone can get something out of these Harry Potters, your Twilights, your Hunger Games. Whereas rom-coms, I feel like, have such a specific audience. But we did have wins like Easy A, and there was Crazy Stupid Love. And I think part of the reason those were such big wins were they weren't like a stereotypical 90s rom-com. They kind of reinvented the cycle and the plot wasn't as predictable as they have been in the past.
I definitely will say Easy A is one of my favorite modern rom-coms of all time. I still think Emma Stone was robbed for the Golden Globe, but I digress. So, I mean, this is both to Lauren and Shyla, but can we pinpoint exactly when the rom-com came back? Like when it was finally, quote unquote, cool again to like rom-coms?
I mean, for me, I kind of think To All the Boys on Netflix. I mean, but like, I mean, first of all, I think just having rom-coms be available for streaming and like make it more accessible. I feel like before it was like you had to drag your boyfriend or whatever to like go see a rom-com and it was like a whole to-do. But having it accessible from your home, I think makes a huge difference. And then Lauren mentioned Crazy Rich Asians as like the big like theatrical one. I feel like that was huge too. But I don't know. I feel like To All the Boys really blew up and people were like, I need a thousand things like this now.
Yeah, it was that year, like 2018, 2019, where it was like To All the Boys and Love, Simon, and then Kissing Booth came out. And then like, it just felt like every other month was a new one. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think the advent of Netflix originals really helped, you know, kind of bring rom-coms into the foreground, especially since Shyla said before it had to be like a whole production. You had to like drag someone to go with you or, you know, go to a theater. And then there's still like the stigma of like, oh, you're seeing a rom-com, which is like bull, but you know, it still comes with it. But now that it's on Netflix, we can watch it in the comfort of our own homes and we can watch it as many times as we want. I'm not going to lie. When The Kissing Booth came out, I watched it 3 times opening weekend. Yeah. And I'm going to keep watching it, you know? So, and like, I feel like, you know, the advent of streaming, especially, you know, the ability, the rewatchability of it all, you can watch it by yourself, you can watch it with friends, you can watch it with a partner. That kind of removes the pressure when it's like in your home. I honestly can't tell you the last rom-com I saw in theaters. I think it was Crazy Rich Asians.
That actually brings me to my next thing. Netflix is really shaking up rom-coms, like, you know, not just by having them be available for streaming, but just like they're recreating stuff. So they're doing this whole remake of He's All That, which is now gender swapped, starring Addison Rae, a remake of the 99 classic. And it really reminds us how different things are today versus in the 90s when rom-coms were super big. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Have you seen this trailer? Do you think it'll live up to the original? Are you going to watch it? Tell me.
Lauren, I'll let you kick off this discussion.
I'm going to watch it, obviously, because I can't not watch it. I'm interested to see, because I feel like one thing that, like, at least, like, 90s rom-coms always feels like people's behavior is so universal, and I don't think that really changes, but, like, I don't know, just the era, the clothes, the lingo. Even now, like, they have phones and their social media. I'm really interested to see how that will kind of change the story into what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to obviously watch it. You can't put a rom-com on Netflix and not expect me to watch it at least twice. But I do think the thing with 90s rom-coms is that, again, it was a different time. So like something like She's All That could kind of work in the 90s, you know? I feel like have like redoing it, even with the gender swap. I'm curious to see how they tackle some of the issues that we are now noticing in the 99 original, if that makes sense. Because looking back, it's like these, you know, preppy white boys are like, oh, I bet you can't take any of these girls and make them into a prom queen. And they're like, oh, like pick the girl with the glasses and overalls. She's a go. Oh no, underneath the overalls, she's so hot. Like, this is great. And again, like that's the surface of the movie. Obviously, like Zach and Lainey, he realizes that, you know, the feelings are more than skin deep. It's, you know, internally who she is as a person. That's what really attracted her to him. And, you know, same with her. She was like, oh, you're more than just this popular jock. You actually have feelings. You actually, like, you know, have wants and desires. That being said, it's still the premise of the movie is, you know, this uggo girl who needs a makeover. So seeing that in 2021, even though it is gender swapped, I'm going to watch it, no shade, but I feel like if we wanted to recreate another 90s classic, we could have picked a different one.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up because, like, as much as I love the original movie and, like, both that movie and a lot of other 90s and, like, 2000s classics don't necessarily hold up to 2021 standards. I mean, do you guys think that there's an opportunity here to sort of correct problems with more remakes, or should we just let them be and create some new stuff? Like, I was thinking about John Tucker Must Die, and there's a scene in the movie where, like, he literally says, oh, it's just locker room talk. And I was
oof, like, oh, that didn't age well.
Right, oh, exactly. No. So I'm just like, should we retake that movie? Like, I mean, I think that there's a huge opportunity to incorporate diversity and have more queer stories. But, like, do we recreate things that have already been done, or do we just start fresh? What do you guys think?
Are there lines that could be reworked? Obviously. You know, could there be more diversity? I mean, I know we had Ashanti, but we could have, you know, an Asian woman in there. We could have a Latinx woman in there. Like, they're obviously, like, you know, that's something that we can workshop and we can make more diverse. I would love to see a reboot of John Tucker Must Die, to be honest, but that's yes, a discussion for that's a discussion for another day. But also, when I look at She's All That, you know, for me, like, inherently the plot is something that, regardless of how you cut it, dice it up, slice it up, and serve it, it's not going to hold up to 2021 standards. It's like, it's the same reason why I pray to God that they don't ever do a remake of Never Been Kissed, because that in and of it's like, that's just,
yeah, the like, no,
we should, yeah, we should keep that in the past. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there are some 90s films that, you know, live up to our standards, but there's some that should just kind of stay in that year.
I almost feel like I wish we would just like let these movies lie and just restart doing like our own things, because like the whole makeover and He's All That, She's All That, I don't know. I think that's not the only movie that's ever done the makeover thing. So I don't know if we necessarily need to reboot that same idea and have it be like part of the, like a continuation or a remake. I think we as a society have more ideas and have more to offer to these movies. I think we can do more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Something else that I've noticed. Okay, so we've got movies like Kissing Booth 3 coming out, He's All That, Cinderella. These are all teen rom-coms. Is that just the rom-com audience now? Like, does this mean that the return of Bridget Jones and like the Reese Witherspoon era of movies are a pipe dream? I mean, Lauren, you're Gen Z, so what do you think?
I mean, I do love a teen rom-com. I will watch every single one of them. And I feel like, I can't tell if that's the rom-com audience or is that the streaming audience? Because I feel like lots of kids in high school, like you come home from school, you come home from, I don't know, whatever you're doing on the weekend, you don't have a 9-to-5 job every day. So you do have all of this time to binge watch everything. And even like just a lot of your friends and all over social media, it's like this community to watch all of these shows, watch all of these movies. That's kind of popular. It's kind of a thing. I do wonder that there must be an audience for these, like a Reese Witherspoon or a Bridget Jones, because I still, as much as a fan I am of these high school ones, I would watch a remake of those.
I agree with Lauren. I feel like, you know, Netflix has caters to sometimes a younger audience, but they do have like older rom-coms like Falling in Love. I feel like Netflix kind of realized, oh, like this is our bread and butter, so like let's kind of keep making what works. But maybe this just means that, you know, we can have, you know, the abundance of teen content to binge, and then we can have the more adult, higher budget rom-coms for theaters. Because, you know, Nancy Myers, she's still kicking. She didn't go anywhere. So I'm just waiting to see what she's cooking up.
Because Lauren, I think you make a really good point. Like, kids are coming home from school. They're like sitting down to Netflix, like doing whatever. And I feel like maybe going to the movies might be more of a millennial thing. I don't know. But I mean, do you have any other final thoughts on that? Like, do you think that Gen Zers want to just see themselves on screen? Do you think that they're just like not interested in anyone else?
I think there is like this idea that like people like Lana Condor, they feel like real to us, where it's like this person is like so similar in age. Like she looks like a lot more people than like Addison Rae does. And it's just like it's comforting to see someone that looks like you on screen that is young, that's, I don't know, I think there is something about it, and there are always people that you kind of want to be or you want to be friends with. And I think Netflix does really well with casting those kinds of people. But yeah, I do think it's a millennial thing to go see a movie, to go out and have it be like a social event, whereas your Gen Z comes home from school, puts on whatever's on Netflix, and then can start and stop, can pause to go do their homework, can like eat dinner, can like call their friends, and then like pick up right back where they left off.
Totally.
Okay, so final question, I've got to ask you both, which summer rom-com are you the most excited about? Is it Kissing Booth 3? Is it He's All That? Something I haven't heard of? Go.
Kissing Booth 3.
I was going to say, I'm really excited for He's All That. I need to know how it's going to happen. I'm going to watch it the second it comes out. I need to see how it's different, but also how it's the same and just how they do it Gen Z-ified.
I'm also just excited to see how Rachel Lee Cook plays into this. I think she plays Addison's mom.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a continuation of the original. I think it's a true like reboot. But I'm just excited. I wonder if they're going to throw in like any fun little Easter eggs from like any fun callbacks from the original.
Well, I will be watching both. Lauren, this was so much fun. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about TV and all things rom-coms.
That's it for today. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, if you get paid to do a job, show up and do the fucking job.
BuzzFeed Daily is produced by Dan Bauza, Joshua Burnley, Tanya Bustos, Jess Goodwin, and Erica Nedanine. Special thanks to Samantha Henning and Tommy Wesley.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go to for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed coming to you daily.